Welcome to Terrace Talk. It's the only footballing podcast that brings together real fans who have been to real matches to get their real views on all the weekend's action. In this particular episode, we are looking back at all 12 of the weekend's championship games and previewing all those coming up this Saturday in game week 19. We're going to pay tribute to the late, great Terry Venables with Leeds, Middlesbrough and QPR fans. We're going to discuss the signing of Yannick Bolasie with our Swansea fan. And we're going to ask what each club needs to be asking Santa for in their January transfer window list.
Terrace Talk.
My name is Mark and I hope you can follow us also on X at Championship Terrace Talk, and you can also see us on YouTube where you can actually see our podcasters in action and give your comments and views on everything they have to say. Let's kick things off with Leeds against Middlesbrough.
Terrace Talk.
Leeds were going oh so well. Another fantastic goal. No threat. And then, like Leeds of old, throw it away. Ben, thoughts on it all?
It was shocking, to be fair. I said last week, we'd get an early goal and we'll blow them away. How wrong was I? There was just no teeth up front. It was just pitiful.
Yeah, is it getting too easy to attack Leeds down one side at the moment? It seems teams have kind of sussed out that they can attack down one flank where you are certainly weaker than the other.
Potentially. I mean, obviously the left side was the worst side, but I think Byram's doing unbelievable down there. Obviously, Firpo played the other night. Please just get him gone and buy a proper left back. But then on the right side, obviously, we have got Spence, but it's due to be back soon. So Archie Gray's been filling in, but again, he's not a right back. And then with Gray keeping Ailing out, it shows that Ailing probably has passed it.
It's weird, isn't it? Because if Bamford hadn't strayed offside, we wouldn't even been discussing this. We'd have been discussing, you capitalising on an Ipswich rare away day loss and all things are rosy. But I mean, we've talked a lot about Bamford here when he missed the penalty at Stoke. But is that one of the last times we might see him in a Leeds shirt?
Probably not, because you know what this league's like. You need rotation, especially during the Christmas period and everything like that. Hopefully it's minimal. Play anyone but him. But I mean, yeah, he's been a good servant for us. But ever since the second game in the second year in the Championship, he's just been injured constantly. And then you can tell his confidence shot. But you can't cash in because who's going to want to buy him? So send him to Saudi or something.
Yeah, I mean, arguably he's cost you 4 to 6 points, hasn't he, on the results at Stoke and at Rotherham.
You can't blame it all on him, though, can you? I mean, the rest of the players are on the pitch for the full game as well. Let's be fair, we should have been out of sight before Rotherham scored. But again, lack of clinical finishing cost us, so.
All right, we're heading into December then this weekend before you take on the Borough. What do Leeds need from Santa in the January transfer window?
Probably a left back, definitely. I mean, like I said, Byram's doing amazing there when he is on, and he is like a breath of fresh air, and he's playing like he's got something to prove, because obviously a lot of the Leeds fans just thought he wanted a payday again. But obviously, Fark knows his stuff and he's brought him in for a reason. But then also, we do need the replacement striker. I mean, not a replacement as such, but we need a backup because we can't keep relying on Bamford. Obviously, this man, being a Borough fan, will know exactly that anyway.
Yeah, we'll talk to Chris about Bamford in a second. Happy defensively, apart from left back?
It's a lot stronger. I'll be happy when Strouk is fully fit again. Looked like Cooper went off with a bit of a knock, which is no surprise, he's always injured anyway. But we look better with Strouk in there. And I mean, let's be honest, their goal was very fortunate. But yeah, it is what it is. But yeah, we are looking a lot better defensively.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, on this channel last week, you did say the words, "I don't always look forward to this fixture because it's just something about playing Rotherham."
I called it. I also said, we'll get an early goal and then blow them away. We got the early goal and then we're shocking.
Right, we'll bring in Chris from Middlesbrough, and then we'll preview the game in a second. Thank you, Ben. Wait there. Here's two steps forward, one step back for the Borough. Good evening, Chris. How are you?
I'm all right. It is what it is at the end of the day. It was a tough week and it was a tough result to get, but just one of those bad days at the office again.
I mean, you know, for someone who has only seen the highlights of the game, it seemed like it was standard Borough. You moved the ball really, really quickly, scored some good goals, went in at the back at times, just looked like a team who have only just been playing together for a couple of weeks. At times defensively, it looked a bit of a shambles. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I mean, I'm literally going to call it a second half FC now, because the first half, the first 5 minutes we had control of the game, we were great going forward, and after that, it's like, it's almost as if we gave up to their first goal. Was absolutely, it was outrageous. And again, we conceded a worldly goal, but at the same time, we shouldn't be allowing the opposition to create spaces for these worldly goals to happen. Again, second goal penalty, Lucas Engel had a bit of a stinker in that retrospect. And then it came at half-time, and I was thinking in my head, we're going to bring it back. We always do. We always play so much better in the second half. And then we scored two goals in about 4 minutes, second half. And I'm like, yeah, we're getting the winner here. The atmosphere is absolutely bouncing. I'm feeling mint. I've just downed my coffee, so I'm getting a proper buzz on. And then they go and score off the rebound when Sandy Young makes such a phenomenal save anyway.
Yeah, it's a good save.
It was a fantastic save, but no one's there. The back post to sweep it up afterwards, so... It's such a rollercoaster being a Borough fan. Yeah. But again, we can score, but we were so leaky in defence and it was just gutting to see in the stands.
Yeah, it reminded me of that game against Stoke, of the Riverside a couple of weeks ago, when you just, again, defensively, just look a different side. I've got to mention the strong following that Borough got. It's been raised in many Bristol City forums that obviously I read in preparation for this, how just good, first of all, the Borough numbers were travelling on a cold Saturday down to Bristol. So, you know, credit to you. And also, you sang your hearts out through all of it. So, you know, I mean, they're being backed, aren't they, this Borough side? And perhaps if that's going to be the standard away following all season, perhaps Borough on the road are going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, we've got a fantastic following, even a couple of weeks ago. We had such a great following in Norwich and then selling out Exeter in Plymouth, and it was two games in the same week. It's a fantastic following, and I'm very proud to be a part of it. It's what gets me through the week. I just, when it comes to Borough fans, sometimes when we go through a string of bad form, it's like the fans turn, when it's like, it shouldn't be the case. We've got a fantastic manager. Some of you may be saying it's going to be a rebuild season, but there's quality in our team. You can clearly see, especially going forward. It's just our defence. It's such a punch to the gut to see Leonard Hands out for the rest of the season, as well as Tommy Smith. So I know what question you're asking me about January, and I think you already know my answer.
Go on, we'll ask you anyway. what does Middlesbrough need in January?
We need a centre-half on loan. I mean, it's great to see Matt Clark come back from injury. He was fantastic before he got his injury. He got player of the year at West Brom when he was there. There's a lot of quality in him, but due to his injury, due to the longevity of his injury, we just need someone else just to fill in that back line and add a bit of security. It's just frustrating seeing the amount of goals we're leaking in, because it's a goal at one end and then we're going to concede straight afterwards. Yeah. So it's not the best to watch, but I will never any other way.
Okay. And dare we ask about Middlesbrough finances? Is there likely to be cash made available in January?
It's a tough one. It's a real tough one, because I feel like the club's skint at the moment, but then obviously we sold Jed, sold Tavernier. And I think when it came to the sale of Tavernier, we got loan payments to be able to use those funds in the upcoming season. So I reckon in January is probably going to be a loan job. That's the world we live in these days. We're a millionaire club in a billionaire's game. Well, Premier League, but that's why sometimes I think just Gibson didn't even want us to go up because he's kind of the obvious depth for us. Yeah, biggest aim is just to get at least in the playoffs.
Okay. And can I just ask you selfishly, well, you're Middlesbrough, the one of the few sides which can understand points deductions in the Premier League. Where do you stand on the recent points deduction for 10 points for financial fair play in the Premier League?
Oh, it's really extremely harsh because you look at some other clubs who've done the exact same, if not worse. Nothing's been done about that. I don't know what's going on in the Premier League. I don't know if it's money talking. I don't know what's going on. One of my best mates is a Toffee. So a little slight part of me felt a bit smug, but you know, at the end of the day, it's someone's football club. Right. It's really worrying, especially if you go into the new stadium as well. But I just wonder on the process. I wonder what's going to happen now.
Yeah, well, Everton Borough might be the first fixture in the new stadium next year. We're staying to see. Spring back in our Leeds fan. Chris for now. Yeah, Leeds against Middlesbrough then this weekend. Before I ask you to chat to each other about this game, just a word on Terry Venables, who of course managed both Leeds and Borough for short spells. Recollections of his time? I know maybe before some of your times there. Any thoughts, reflections?
Yes, I was very young when he was at Leeds, really. Don't remember it too well, but obviously, yeah, condolences to all the family and stuff like that.
Yeah. Chris at Borough?
Yeah, same when he was the assistant with us. Again, I was born in 99, so it's probably way past my time. But it was such an important season for us and it was such a turnaround for us. So I'm sure everyone will be paying their respects on Saturday and absolutely deserves it. I know the word legend is brushed out sometimes loosely, but he really is a legend of the game. And I saw a brilliant photo yesterday of Pep Guardiola looking up to him at Barca. And it's just like he was even admired by Pep. And yeah. Pep's like best of the best. So yeah, it's a really sad story, but I'm sure we'll give him a good sign off on Saturday, definitely.
Bro, well said. Okay, it's the Patrick Bamford Derby then. This weekend. Ben, we'll go to you first then. This is gonna be a tasty one, this, isn't it?
Yeah, it's gonna be a tough game. You know, they've showed that they can play. But yeah, we're at home. So I'm going to go a 2-0. If we do concede, it'll go 3-1.
Yeah, and you've been unbeaten at home, haven't you, as well this season? So.
Yeah. So we're just getting better and better. We've won 4 on the bounce now. Just get rid of the sloppy little mistakes and actually put away the chances.
Yeah. Borough on the road again then, Chris. What do you fancy here, Ellen Road?
I'm going to be ambitious for once. I was going to say 3-1, but since Greenwood's on loan from loan was from Leeds, and he's ineligible to play, I'll go for 2-1 Borough instead.
All right. All right. Listen, fellas, nice one. We'll catch up this week. Enjoy the game. This is going to be one of the best pictures this weekend for sure. All right, nice one.
Cheers, Mark. Thank you, mate.
Terrace Talk.
It's not since the hot August bank holiday of the 26th, which Ipswich have last tasted defeat. Ian, how does it feel? Have you forgotten what it feels like to lose a football game?
The feeling was really weird Saturday night. I was just twiddling my thumbs, thinking my lucky pants don't work anymore. And I was just, it was really strange because after losing home to Leeds, I left that game feeling optimistic, thinking, you know, this is the first time we've played one of the relegated teams. I mean, people say 4-3, you know, they deserve to win. When you're at the game, you'd have seen it was a mad 15 minutes in the first half where Leeds went up 3-1 up. And that's been the trend going through the season, you know, conceding goals in the first 20 minutes. You know, that was, three that time. And one against West Brom in the first 5 minutes,
Well, welcome back to the Ipswich View. I'd like to talk to you about corners, defending corners and set plays. I want to also talk about McKenna's 100th game in charge, because obviously that was a milestone. I also want to talk about Crystal Palace, the rumours around their potential new manager hunting. Let's go back to Saturday night then against West Brom. West Brom aren't a bad side at all on this. So there's no failure in coming up against a team that haven't only lost one at home. What was your view of the game as a whole? I mean, I watched it on TV, and you know, I was surprised. I was expecting to see I thought it looked at times men against boys, but probably being very, very unfair. But that's just my snapshot view of one game.
Joe, I used to hate watching us on TV. We had a terrible record on Sky, and it came back on Saturday, and we looked bereft of anything. And it's like when you tell your friend they've got a really good comedy programme to watch, and you get them to watch it, and it's the most boring episode ever. And it was the same on Saturday. You know, come and watch Ipswich, it's fantastic football. And it was, you know, what are they doing? And we seemed to be lost to make anything happen, you know, shots or anything. But, you know, credit to West Brom, they knew to come out and hit us hard in the first half. That really just, you know, we didn't really know what to do, and nothing seemed to be working for us. And yeah, it was very frustrating to watch. But half time, I Kieran McKenna will go in. He's got a habit of turning things round. We're quite comfortable to go 1-0 down. We'll turn that around. But it just didn't happen. And then we had a corner second half, a fantastic counter-attack from West Brom, which really just, you know, that was it. And when that second goal went in, I don't know where three goals are going to come from, let alone two. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for a side who, I think, am I right in this? I think you've told us before in previous ones that you've scored in every game since Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Is that right?
It is, yeah.
I mean, it's one of those stats that you read and hear, and you think you've got to double check that before I say it. Okay, West Brom fans will be absolutely delighted the first shutout of that one. Let's go back to the corner, then the first goal. Then another goal in the first 10 minutes of a game. We highlighted it last week when you spoke about it in the Swansea game. What is it then about set plays? What has he got to do in training this week to stop these goals from set plays going in the back of your net?
Yeah, when it comes to set plays, you've got, at that level, every player has a duty. Every player has somebody to pick up or a responsibility, depending what. Yeah, and you train against what you think the team will bring against you. When you look back at that goal, you know, it was the header was quite forward in the box, to glancing header to the back post. It's not your conventional header where the guy's actually hitting it on target. It was a glancing header. I don't think he thought it was going to go in, and everyone seemed to leave it. And I think it was George Hurst at the back watched it kind of go in, and yeah, it just took everybody by surprise. I think the West Brom fans included. It wasn't the type of goal we expected to concede. And I still don't fear, you know, set pieces. If the only way people can score against us is set pieces, and then that says something for the way we close down in open play football. To me, it was more as the worry about the counter when they scored on that second goal.
Do you think the timing of the game has something to do with it? I mean, we'll never know the answer, but, you know, they'll have watched Leeds on Friday night and obviously, you know, see them drop points, and then they must have heard that Southampton going into that game had also dropped points. So you're thinking, crikey, they both dropped points. Here we are. If we win this, you know, we are, what, 11 points, 12 points, 12 points clear? I mean, obviously it's disappointing, but do you think any of that played into it?
I think the players, if you speak to them, each and every one of them will say, oh, we just focus on the next game. And they seem to carry that air that they're not looking at other fixtures and saying, what could happen if we win? I just think, actually, in Ipswich's cases, it's the third time running from international breaks where we've come back from an international break and we just haven't gelled on that first game back. So I'd like to think that the bounce on Tuesday, which will be when people are watching this, probably have already played. So Wednesday, actually, when we play Millwall, that's hopefully where the bounce comes back and we get back to winning ways. We need to get rid of this international breaks now for a while and get a consistent one. Just as we get our form back up, we have another break. And yeah, it's not good for us at the moment.
By the time you play Coventry, we'll be into December. Can I ask you what you think should be on Ipswich's Christmas list for the January transfer window? What do you need?
Well, people will say we need another striker, because when you look at who we have up front, Hurst and Ladapo, you think, well, it's not a great deal of depth. But then you look at Ipswich, which is, you know, the leading scorers across, you know, lots of divisions, and goals come from everywhere. So I would suggest maybe strikers is not the urgent requirement, and actually where we're being vulnerable is at the back. And I think it's a mixture of inexperience, chopping and changing a couple of times. We've had Burgess, who plays Australia, say when he's off and he comes back, he's slightly jet-lagged. We've swapped Burgess with Edmondson at the back. We've then brought Twanzebe in for Manchester United. He stepped in for Wolford. And, you know, I just feel that for the fullbacks, they're not getting to build their relationship with the centre-backs. And it's that area that where we're getting the problems. You know, it's not so much the centre-backs playing together. It's when our fullbacks go forward, it's the covering in between. And now we've added another change by Luongo being swapped out for Jack Taylor. So again, yeah, it's a fine-tuned machine. You don't need to mix around much to kind of really mess it up. So maybe we'll see Kieran go back to something more established this week. We'll see.
And who are you hoping the Premier League don't get a sniff of?
Leif Davis is without doubt probably the our most valuable asset. I don't think Connor Chaplin, although he was a leading scorer last year, I don't think he's on anyone's radar. I think Morsi has probably gone past the point of being touted. And really, again, a couple of people mentioned it. There are no superstars at Ipswich. So when you look at that, it's either McKenna or Davis to go. And I'm pretty sure McKenna has pinned his flags to the mast to say he's happy to stay with Ipswich. He wants to get us in the Premiership and manage us in the Premiership. I think it's any to go for.
Yeah, you may have obviously seen some reports this week that Crystal Palace's loss against Luton has meant that some patience is running out with Roy Hodgson, and that their number one go-to should he get the sack would be your manager. You've said this before when I've asked you. You are convinced that even if Palace were to come mid-December and make him offer, that he would turn that down?
Absolutely. I think there's only two teams right now he would leave Ipswich for, and that would either be Tottenham or Manchester United. Neither of those clubs are going to come for McKenna. There is news that the Northern Ireland job might be up for grabs. So again, that might pique his interest a little bit. But I really do, having seen him on the club forums where he meets with the fans, seen his press conferences, read what he has to say in the matchday programme, he is here, I do believe, to get the project complete. And that completion is us in the Premiership.
And just finally on that then, so 100th game against West Brom, 58% winning percentage, which is just unheard of, really, certainly in modern era of football. I don't need to ask you for the superlatives about what your manager is, but just in a sentence or so, what does he mean to this club?
He means everything. You know, the club was from the heights of Bobby Robson's era, and then even George Burley getting us promoted in the Premiership, you know, the club descended into a doom, a pit of darkness, and he was a shining light. He's lifted us up. He's broken records at manager levels, and we're talking about Sir Alf Ramsey and Sir Bobby Robson. And then he's risen from their shadow, and he's actually setting his own history. You know, people will be able to. They won't compare this team to the team of the 80s. They'll be using this as a benchmark for teams going forward. And that's what we needed to do. We needed to kind of put the history on the shelf and create new history.
Great. All right, prediction then for this weekend. Ipswich against the Coventry side, which away from home have just started to pick up a little bit. What's your predictions for this one?
Yeah, sold out 2 weeks ago. It's going to be an absolutely fantastic atmosphere. Coventry stutter probably more than we do. They're inconsistent. I think we're going to see Ipswich spark. We'll get a good win in midweek, hopefully, and that'll set us up for what I'd like to see is a nice 3-0 home win. We just need to see our strikers putting in one or two. And I would absolutely love for Dane Scarlett to come on and actually get a goal for us as well, because he's been fantastic for the England elite team.
Yeah, great. Listen, Ian, thanks for joining us again. Really appreciate it. You've come back even after you've lost, which is you know, yeah, it's kind of a true fan, isn't it? All right, we'll catch you next week. Thanks, Ian.
Cheers, bye.
24 of the nation's most dedicated fans. Terrace Talk. Follow on X and Facebook.
Mark Robbins said it had been coming. Is he right?
Had you right? well, yes. I think I've mentioned before that it's a case of taking chances. And bizarrely, we scored a goal on Saturday from not taking a chance, which is just about sums it up, really. We missed a sitter and we scored a goal from it. So, it's been on the cards that we got a chance of turning somebody over. I was surprised to do it at Millwall, to be honest.
Welcome back to the Coventry view. I want to pick over the that Millwall result and also ask you about what's coming up. You scored from a corner.
Yes.
What happened, is it? Is that something to celebrate?
Everything that we haven't been doing, we did. I think it was our first goal after 90-odd corners. It's bizarre. And really, it's just a simple ball into the box that evaded everybody and landed at the feet of Ben Chief.
Yeah.
It's that simple, isn't it, really? But it rarely happens. So we did score from a corner. So that's another plus point.
And just talk about Hadji Wright, because I've only obviously watched the highlights. You were there. Is it true, or is it an exaggeration from some reports that he could have had a hat-trick himself?
He was put through the first half. Their defender gave him a little push. He had the shot to keep... I mean, it was a good save, actually, but it's frustrating when he hasn't scored. He has scored four, but you're thinking he should be putting away. I mean, the first goal was basically he was 6 yards out and fluffed it completely. Keeper saved it, rebounded straight to Matty Godden, who put it away. And then he had a chance in the second half as well. So, yeah, he could have had a hat-trick, really.
There were many commentary fans on Twitter saying Godden should be dropped and actually he's the weakest of the three. Is it sweet redemption? You didn't agree with that last week when I asked. Nice redemption for him.
Yeah, I don't understand it. He's the guy who's got the best scoring record in the club. I don't know what they want from him. When I hear things about, he's not doing enough around the box and all that, but his job is to score goals. I don't want him too far away from the goal, really. He's like a modern-day Tony Cotty, you could say. that type of goal scorer. You want him in the box, don't you? He's quick. He's got a good... the first couple of yards are pretty quick. I wouldn't expect him to outpace a defender, over 40 yards or something, but definitely over 2 yards in the box, I'd put my money on him getting there first.
Yeah.
So you've got to keep him... Yeah, he's our main striker at the minute.
Was it also a positive how many... chances Millwall were limited to? Is that's been an aspect of your game that you have been too open in the last this month, hasn't it? Is it nice to see that Millwall were quite restricted?
Yeah, what's interesting is he's brought in Collins to play in goal and his two previous Barnsley centre-halves in front of him. So basically, you got the three lads who played for Barnsley last season who got to the Championship playoff playing in our defence. And the clean sheet against Stoke, clean sheet again Saturday. Collins looks decent as well in goal, but I think the back four suits us. It definitely suits the players he's got playing right back and left back as well.
Yeah, you said that last week, didn't you? That that style of play has to be adopted going forward. So okay, so 19 points, 20th place still on the up, 7 points away from the drop, which is not really a consideration at all. Just going back, was he right? Had that been coming? We've spoken every week. We saw the Stoke game. You've been marginally defeated at times, and then had a few nil nils. Had that sort of result been coming? Have you been on the cusp of this kind of result?
I think so, but you don't expect it to be the next game. You always say there's going to be a time we're going to batter somebody, and it just clicked on Saturday. I think we're fortunate to play Millwall after the international break, once they've had a break from that good win they had at Sheffield Wednesday, because I think had we played them straight away, they'd have been really, really up for it. I think it may have been a different game, but I think because there was a gap between the two matches. And also, the first 10 minutes, Millwall were pretty decent. They put us under a bit of pressure, and we took a good 10-15 minutes to settle down. But I'm just confident that if you create chances, you'll take them in the end. I can't believe you're going to miss them all season. It's impossible, isn't it? we're in the top six for chances created or something, and we're, like I said last week, in bottom six for actually taking them. So that's where the problem's been all season. So hopefully this is the start of a change
Run, yeah. And I didn't realise that Coventry and November don't really get on that well historically. So I'm sure you'd be glad to see the back of this one. It's picked up, hasn't it, towards the end. Okay, it's nearly Christmas time, so it's right this week we're asking our clubs on this channel, Claudio, what do you want for Christmas? So January transfer window, what do Coventry need?
We need a creative midfielder. Callum O'Hare is in his last year of his contract. I don't know. Apparently, something's been offered. It seems to be hanging around a bit too long now. But we need to bring somebody else in anyway. We definitely are a creative midfielder. It looks like there's talk of a Ghanaian centre-half coming in, apparently. We're favourites to get him at another three or four million. I don't know where this money's coming from. And so I think that's what we need. I don't think we need any more strikers. We've got to let the lads we've got now bed in and get on with it, basically. It just seems a daft thing to do. And they've got them on long contracts, so they're supposedly not going anywhere. Even Matty's here for another 18 months yet. So I think creative midfielders, we probably do need more defenders, to be honest. But we've got midfielders you can destroy, but we do need more of the playmaker types, basically.
And any worries about the Premier League sniffing around some of your top performers at all?
No. Thankfully, they haven't been performing to the scales of last season. I think it's a ploy. I think they do it every season.
Is that right?
In January, no, everyone's going, even last year they were saying, Hamer's going to go, Jokeres is going to go, and nobody sniffed them, really. They weren't interested because we weren't really doing much. It's after Christmas. They seem to start picking up.
Yeah, it's an interesting tactic, nevertheless. Okay, all right, Ipswich then this weekend. Doesn't really come much tougher than Ipswich away. What are your thoughts?
I've been looking at their form, and they do like letting goals in. I know,
especially early on. First 10 minutes in games.
Yeah, they've not. This is the first time they haven't scored, isn't it? Is that right? I think they've been scoring every game.
Yeah, they've scored in every game since Valentine's Day, but then got a shutout against West Brom. It's incredible.
Yeah, I've been thinking the last few weeks that they just seem to be conceding too many goals. I know they've been scoring three and fours and twos, or whatever, but they've. So I fancy we could score a goal at least. Now it's whether or not we can shut them out. They're a handful, aren't they? They're buzzing. They're just on an upward spiral, basically. But I feel, personally, the three teams that came down last season, I think will go back up. I think it's looking that way. I think Leicester are too strong. They've got a big squad. I think Leeds and Southampton, they're going to get their act together after Christmas. And with the January window, they're going to have the power to buy people, aren't they?
Yeah.
I just think Ipswich are going to get caught, basically, because it's... they can't afford too many defeats, basically.
Yeah, I mean, we hope for the neutral's sake that, yeah, Ipswich and West Brom and Middlesbrough.
Well, exactly. And others, even us, others, hopefully getting the playoffs and all that. But I just feel, personally, for the Championship, the three teams that went up wasn't great, and the three teams that came down wasn't great, because it's made it a bit uneven in terms of the spending power and all that. Yep. In a selfish point of view, you want the weakest... sort of the weaker clubs to come down, don't you?
Makes them more competitive, yeah.
But yeah, I think it'd be interesting because they've got Connor Chaplin, which I used to really like at Cov. He was good. But for some reason, he didn't settle in. I don't know what was going on there, but he's playing in a number 10 role, which is totally different to what we had him as a striker, out-and-out striker. But they've played him a lot deeper at Ipswich. So it'd be interesting how he performs against us. He's a good lad, he is.
West Brom played this very high line against them, and it worked. That's something that you've not seen Coventry do in games. Is that, you think Robbins is gonna stick with what he knows best, or is he gonna try something different for this one? Because you can't play Ipswich the same way you played against teams like Stoke, because you'll get torn apart.
And it'd be interesting because obviously we're playing tomorrow night against Plymouth, which means I still reckon we'll go 4-3-3 against Plymouth. I'm not sure he can do 4-3-3 against Ipswich because they'll completely outplay us in midfield. We get torn to shreds. So I think he'll have to be a bit more pragmatic and probably a bit more boring.
Yeah, the older.
I don't think we've got the players. We haven't got that. Well, it depends how fit O'Hare is, but we haven't got the kind of player that you need to do a 4-3-3 against a side like Ipswich. And also the two, I mean, we've got Sakamoto out wide. He was great on Saturday. Really good, up and down the wing, loads of energy. Hadji Wright's on the left. He's not like that. He's a bit of a stroller. And I think you can't have that against a side like Ipswich, because they're 100 mile an hour. They like to get in your face. You know, they're high energy. It's be a tough one. I mean, the last time we played there, we won 1-0. It was the game before COVID, before it all stopped. And it's the game basically where we won the league as such, because of the points per game thing. We were 7 points clear of third place. There were only 10 matches to go. So I think we'd have gone up anyway. But that sort of sealed the deal. We never normally do well at Ipswich. So that was a surprise. And we also drew there in the cup and beat them at home that season. I have been about 3 times to Portman Road. I don't think I've seen us. I think I've seen us score 1 goal and lose all the games. I'm not going Saturday.
Stay away.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Let's get a prediction then. Claudio, thanks. What are you going with?
I'm going to go. It depends what happens tomorrow night, because if we do badly tomorrow, I think, oh no, what's going to happen Saturday? I would like to think we'll come away with a draw. I think a score draw, yeah, 1-1 draw or something. I think we can muster that.
Well, I'm glad you're on the up. It's good to see you smiling again. Yeah. Colt. I can't have you miserable every week, Claudio.
No.
Right, cheers for joining us. We'll catch up next week. Yeah. Cheers for that. Nice one.
Cheers.
The most argumentative footballing podcast.
Rooney's off the mark now. There's no stopping Birmingham. They're going to get promotion, eh, Adam?
Got to be in it only one way now, and that's it.
Welcome back to the Birmingham View. How are you anyway? You look a lot happier than previous weeks. Imagine, you're always happy. You're always got a smile on your face.
I'm always happy. Even when we lose, I'm still happy, because I believe in what they're trying to do. So let's keep it going.
So this transition project then, Sheffield Wednesday came, scored a goal just before half-time. You immediately responded. Were Wednesday the better team in that first half?
Yeah, listen, we play like that against any other team in this league. We'll be going in 3 or 4 nil down at the break. We just luckily played a team that didn't know where the back of the net was. They missed a couple of golden chances, and like I say, it looked like we were going to go in at 1-0 down, and then a random corner and a smacking from Bakuna at the edge of the box, which I think their keeper should have saved, by the way.
It wasn't exactly top corner,
was it?
Right, talk about the second half then. You improved.
Yeah, we come out. You could tell, obviously, Rooney must have said something at half time, which was needed, because we're playing bottom of the league, the team that getting hammered by everyone else each week. We come out again. It weren't amazing. It wasn't. It was nothing to be like, oh, we're back all of a sudden. But it's improvement again. Like I keep saying, you can't judge any of this until he's done January at least and tried to get a couple of players in. But it'll be more eyes on the summer.
Yeah, let's talk about January then, because we're heading into December now. We'll be in December when it's the Rotherham game. I imagine that Birmingham would probably be one of the busiest clubs in January, given the owners and the chance they'll get a proper chance to spend some money. Although you'll help us out and tell us if that's not the case. What do Birmingham need in January?
I still think we're under this financial fair play thing. I don't think we can go that crazy. I think they need a couple of loans to try and boost the midfield, because we don't look very strong off the bench, which I've been saying for all season. We definitely need a striker. You've definitely got to go and look at a striker, maybe two, a winger. I mean, we could name 6 or 7 players. It ain't going to happen. I think it'll definitely be a striker. I think they'll definitely have eyes on a striker, probably a loan. I'd imagine Rooney's tapping up Man United at the minute.
Can I just ask you about your goalkeeper as well? Thoughts?
I think I said, didn't I? I think I said a couple of weeks ago, he's not the one for me. He was good the first season, last season when he came in. He's a good shot stopper. And if that's what you want out your keeper, then he's good. He's a safe set of hands. If you want a goalkeeper that's going to play out with the ball at his feet, he's horrendous. He can't kick a ball to anyone in a blue shirt. He loses it or kicks it out. He's just not what Rooney would want. So I think he will definitely look at getting a keeper in. I don't think January is usually the market people start signing keepers. I think it'll be for the summer. So I think we're stuck in that department. But yeah, I can see Rooney doesn't seem happy going back to Ruddy, although eventually he wants to have a keeper that will play with the ball at his feet.
Yeah. All right. What's you said give it five games. We've now given it five games. What's your reevaluation on the Rooney project? There's still lots of fans that are unconvinced, even with the win.
Yeah, listen, I know, but people have got to start remembering. We've got, I think there's 13 players in this squad, in what is a small squad, that are all out of contract at the end of the season. You could arguably say only two or three will probably get kept on. So that just shows the level of we've got within these players. We're not going to have any of them moving forward. We're going to need to replace a lot of them, which is going to have to come in the summer. Rooney walking through the door isn't going to make these players that are just average players into top championship players. It's not going to happen. There's a reason why we finished 18th season after season after season with these same players. Something needed to change. We've done it. We've got someone in Rooney who will hopefully attract better players in. Bit of money now behind us. We've got to look higher up the league now. Can't keep looking at 18th. So let's see what we can do.
All right. Rather than come visiting then this weekend, first of all, how nice is it to have St. Andrews fully back open?
Yeah, I know. I've got a few Villa fans that are friends and that constantly been hammering me about it. So now I can take a photo when I'm down there of the full stadium, not just corners of it like these. So yeah, it's nice. The thing is now they've just got to try and get the fans back there, because obviously a lot of fans have fell out of love with it just for how crap it's been for so long. So yeah, it's nice. Let's get the fans back in and let's try and really make a go of it next season.
Yeah. And what do you make of Rotherham? Obviously you may have seen them on TV against Leeds this week. They're still managerless at the moment and probably still will be by the time they come to St. Andrews. What do you make of them?
Yeah, a team that just floats between the Championship and League One. I don't expect them to do anything more than fight relegation. There should be a team we should be looking to turn over. I'm confident we will probably turn them over, to be honest, providing we don't pick any injuries up midweek. I'm confident of a win.
Okay. Let's get our Miller fan in and let's see, make sure if you disagree with it. Bear with us one sec. Last week when we asked you, Reece, you predicted a 1-1 scoreline against Leeds and how right you were. Do you want to talk us through it? I mean, if there's ever an advert for hanging on in games, that game last Friday was definitely it, wasn't
it? Yeah.
Enjoy it?
Yeah, it was good. I believe we had, I think, Leeds did a really, really good first half. Rotherham seemed to, kind of were quite frustrated to get into the game, I'd say. And then the second half, they came out swinging. There were a few decisions, but it could have gone either way for both teams, I think. So, but yeah, very good.
Yeah. Update us on the manager situation then, Reece, because we spoke about our disbelief kind of that, potentially they were going to go through the cheap option and just keep on the caretakers. It looks ever increasingly that might be the case. What's your latest?
Yeah, I think it's because we didn't do such a bad job. They didn't do such a bad job on that match. I think he's going to hold out a little bit more, I believe. There's rumours around whether, obviously, the coach should take the job on himself as well, but there's rumours around that, whether he actually accepts it or not. But I think he said he would take it on if he got the opportunity, I think. So I think maybe they're just holding out and see how well he actually does with a team, maybe. It's an option.
Okay. And what do you make of Birmingham then? And we were travelling to St. Andrews this weekend with the Rotherham Massive. What do you make of them?
Yeah, like I said, they're a decent team. But like I said, like I heard him in the last, obviously, the video. I mean, Leeds thought they could come and wipe us. Obviously, they were mistaken, weren't they? Which I think West Brom will be as well, I think. So, but like I said, they've got a lot to try and prove, I think, because they know they're going to manager. I think some teams do play a little bit better without, that constraint of a manager playing how he wants to play. they can actually play how they want to play. So fingers crossed we can prove a point to say, you know, I mean, West Brom's only at middle at table while Leeds are at top. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, teams are underestimating you, aren't they? Let's see if Rooney and the Blues do the same. Let's get some predictions. Stay there. Okay, Wayne Rooney's Birmingham against Rotherham. Adam, what are you going with? 4-0, 5-0, 7-0? Come on.
No, we don't score that many. I think I'll go 2-0 Blues.
Oh.
I think it's got to be confident. I think Rooney will start the ball rolling now, and I think it won't probably be a pretty result, but I think we'll get the job done.
Nice one. And Rhys, same for you then?
I'm waiting for another draw, mate. I think it'll be 1-1. I think it'll be another draw. A boring draw, yeah, for us. Okay. Okay. So, but the point to point, though, for us, I think we're going to try and claw these. We don't do very well away, do we? So we do better at home. So it's just one of those things, I think.
All right. Nice one, fellas. Enjoy the game. We'll catch you with you next week. Cheers very much.
Cheers. See you later.
The most argumentative footballing podcast.
Sheffield Wednesday are sinking without a trace. Andrew, convince me otherwise.
That's a bit harsh. No. Trust me, even some of our own fans obviously been having a go and getting upset and thinking that we are sort of falling further down points-wise. But trust me, match-wise, if you look at the stats of the games and how we've been playing, and say we've lost 8 games this season so far by just one goal, it could have gone, all those games could have gone either way. We could have got draws quite easily in all 8 of them, if not even one of them. And again, it was a late goal that did us last Saturday at Birmingham. Now, Birmingham, obviously, they had their tails up. Wayne Rooney was desperate for the win. But trust me, the first half, we were better than them without a shadow of doubt. We scored a goal. We hadn't got 2 ahead. This was annoying. We didn't have enough time to go in at half time with that lead intact. Their equaliser right on half time was an arrow to the heart for us. It obviously got their tails up. They had a different team talk at half time. And for us, I think we felt a bit obviously disappointed, frustrated. Second half, they had the tails up. They came at us. I thought we were holding, you know, very well. But in the end, a substitute comes on, typical. Sub comes on for them and scores. Subs come on for us and don't score. We had just as many shots on target. We had 3 more shots than they did, even though they're the home team. But at the end of the day, all that matters is the final score. 2-1, no points.
Yeah, I've read lots of Birmingham fans' accounts of that game, and obviously we have a Birmingham podcaster here who I'm sure will say the same, but most of them were saying Wednesday were the better team.
Yeah, and it's frustrating. So that gives us hope. See, all these people, and some of our fans are a bit fickle, saying this is the worst Wednesday team that they've ever seen or the worst team. You know, I can go back a long way, and trust me, teams I saw in the 74, 75, 76, 77, 78 era, all that, were far inferior to this team. And those teams were in the same league as well, even the league below, as well as this league. But no, we've got players last season, let's face it, 23 matches unbeaten. A lot of those players are still there from last season. Ipswich haven't changed their side very much from last season. Look where they are. Look where we are. So it's a little bit illogical. Okay, we brought players in. Okay, the panic at the Cisco, I keep referring to him. He brought in the guys who unfortunately weren't good enough. I've got a feeling that Vasquez may get a chance in goal again this Saturday. Cameron Dawson did his best. Unfortunately, he couldn't keep that second shot out on Saturday. Of course, typically he parried it out. If he had parried it anywhere but in the direction of the guy who shot, we held on. But unfortunately, it went to him in the back of the net. 2-1, good night.
I do want to shout out, and I'm sure you'll agree with this, the travelling fans that Wednesday take to every game this year have been something else. The numbers,
especially a team where we are, you know, bottom of the league, trailing by some way. I think even Sunderland would be hard pressed to match us for taking away fans like that if they were in our position. They're the only other club I'd say are on a par with us. Leeds might think they are, but I've got to think, you know, looking at what I've seen over the years, remembering historically, I'd say Wednesday and Sunderland, considering the lack of success both clubs have had over the years, and I'm talking about 50 years worth, really, have had phenomenal support, both of them.
Just to explain one more thing before we talk about the Blackburn game. I read on Twitter a lot from Wednesday fans, and every single one of them comes out with the same sort of phrase, which is, in Danny Rowe, we trust, okay? Yeah. No single fan I've read is turning on the manager yet. They're actually fully behind him. Yeah. Explain to the layman why that is, because obviously we're not seeing the results. You're seeing the performances. Why has he got the whole of the fan base behind him so much? Or is it something transitional on the pitch? Or is it just because everyone's against the owner so much that we've got about the manager?
I wouldn't say it's so much against Chantier. Chantier is obviously going to have people who are going to be having a go at him, and a lot of people do want him out. They want somebody else in who perhaps cares, they think, will care more about Wednesday than he has, especially when he made that speech the other month saying he wasn't prepared to put any more money into the club. If he did, once he said that, then what chance have we got, and how does he expect fans to react? At the end of the day, Cisco was there. He unfortunately put us in the mud where we've been the whole of this season so far. He did it. I don't know why he brought those Spanish players in, or players he thought were good enough to perform there, and they didn't cut the mustard. Simple as that. We were found out, even though he got a couple of decent results along the way to begin with, a couple of draws, but weren't winning, no wins. And that was ridiculous when you think how happy we were last season, and we hadn't really changed our own players from last season very much. Very few from last season's success story, if you like, had gone. So it didn't make sense to us that we, you know, but Danny's come in and he's breath of fresh air. He's brought a bit of feeling, a bit of passion. He gets involved on the touchline. He's walking up and down there. Also the German sort of, wavelength of determination of wanting to be successful, and he certainly, I think, he's got a winning mentality. He wants to prove that he can deliver, and I think he'll, if he gets a chance, and if the money, you know, is sent in his direction as it should be in January, he'll get players in. He feels will actually be able to perform and do the business for us. I'm confident of that.
Okay, let's talk about January then. If money was no object, and of course we know that potentially it could be, what did Wednesday need?
Well, what does every club need? Every club will probably ask the same thing. In us, I've still got a bit of confidence in the two goalkeepers. I'm hoping the goalkeepers can do the job, the two of them. Give Vasquez another chance, I'm saying, as well as Dawson. Perhaps make Dawson want to play for his place again. But we need a leader in the centre of defence. Now, I'm going back in history, the sort of leaders I've seen in the centre of defence. We had people like Mike Lyons, Nigel Pearson, you know, and Des Walker we had there. We need somebody in the centre of defence who's a leader, can organise them. And get them playing together, and no schoolboy errors at the back, making sure they clear their lines and not try and, you know, get and play themselves into trouble there. We need a midfielder who can score goals. We need a goal-scoring midfielder. We've had those in the past. Remember back in the day, Tommy Craig and John Sheridan, lots of fine goal-scoring midfielders on regular basis. Barry Bannon has done it a little bit for us in the past, but he's obviously getting a bit older. It's been dropping off compared to what he did before. And we need a striker. We need Jamie Vardy. Jamie Vardy is a Wednesday fan through and through. I'm asking Mr. Chansiri, get your wage, you know, get your money out and get hold of Jamie Vardy. He will come to Hillsborough. He will do for us what Terry Curran did for us all those years ago. Terry Curran had an even better, you know, just as good a reputation as Jamie Vardy when he was playing for the likes of, you know, Nottingham Forest before he came to us, and he absolutely, you know, was a hero. We need a hero up front who's a regular goal scorer.
Well, it might be wishful thinking to get Jamie Vardy, but hey, stranger things have happened in football, haven't they? All right, let's look ahead to the Blackburn game then this weekend. Obviously, we're recording this before you play Leicester, so let's think ahead to the challenge of Blackburn. They've just had a great result this past weekend against Stoke. And they seem to play better away from home than they do at home, Blackburn. What are your thoughts going into this one?
Well, they're consistent, and obviously what Blackburn are going to be hoping for is that we get stuffed against Leicester. They're going to want Wednesday to be really demoralised. So, as you know, confidence is low. I think another defeat, that'll be a nightmare November all over and dusted. In fact, next Saturday, of course, is going to be December. So a new month, six crucial matches to look at December. And we've got to start thinking about all 18 points somewhere along the line. But Blackburn, yeah, if we're not thrashed by Leicester, and very hopeful we won't be, I'm hopeful we're going to give them a damn good game, and I just hope we can try and nick a draw in that game. A win will be a bonus, obviously. If we lose, hopefully it's just by one goal again. Well, hopefully, I don't want to say hopefully, but we give them a run for their money, then we've got every chance of doing something against Blackburn, because Leicester are a better team than Blackburn. Leicester are better. So, and again, it'll depend on Wednesday's, you know, fortune. I'm just wondering what's happened to Smith. Remember, he's the last guy to score a couple of goals against Rotherham. He won the game. He wasn't there again Saturday. I'm just wondering what's going on there. I don't know if it's long-term injury. I'm not certain now, but he's not been included. We've got to get somebody there who's going to know where the back of the net is. Otherwise, we won't be beating Blackburn either. We need goals. You know, Windass, obviously, he didn't score. He had a great chance to score against Birmingham. He missed the chance. But in fairness to him, he did at least make the goal. His free kick was the one that hit the post, which, Byers followed up to put it in the back of the net. Windass needs a goal urgently as well. These guys need to start scoring. No, Windass was good enough to score against Newcastle last season, and they're far better than Blackburn.
Yeah. I mean, I've got to say, when you beat Rotherham at home, I did think perhaps this was the start of a little bit of a mini run at home, and then, of course, you know, a Millwall come along and ruin all that.
Devastating.
We are. Look, we wish you best, Andrew. Enjoy the games this week. Good luck against Blackburn, and we'll see you in a week's time to review it all.
Yes. Cheers. All the best.
Keep smiling. Keep smiling.
I always do.
All right. All right, Wednesday fans, put your comments below if you agree with what Andrew has said. Is his belief misplaced, or have you got complete faith in the Royal Project? Thanks, Andrew. EFL Terrace Talk. It was just about the most perfect performance you could see from an away team, away at Stoke on a cold November Saturday. My God, Blackburn did well, didn't they, Harry? How are you?
Yeah, very good, and it's exactly right. We did it on a cold night in Stoke. Yeah, as far as performances go, you can't really complain. And that's you don't often watch Rovers, and I've been watching Rovers for 20 years, and you don't often watch Rovers and not think that you have a good chance of losing the game at almost any moment. But it seemed pretty much in control throughout the whole 90 minutes. And that's no disrespect to Stoke. They're a difficult side to beat. But we were really, defensively, I think, really solid, and really limited them having any chances at all.
I can't weigh up Blackburn, because I watched the game against Preston, and obviously went on to lose that in the last minute. And at home, you know, games against Swansea have gone, and you know, can't weigh up the team. But away from home, Blackburn plays some really good stuff. They all work for each other, probably harder than they work at Ewood Park, which is bizarre. Can you put your finger on what the difference is away from Ewood Park? I mean, I read one report that said the week, if the fans were as loud away from home as they were at home, then perhaps you might win a bit more at home. Is that an impact? Explain it to us, because it's just a complete mystery this season.
Well, I've been trying to weigh up Rovers for the best part of 20 years, and I've still not got any closer than you have. but it's so un-Rovers-like. Normally, Ewood Park's a bit of a fortress for us, and away from home, we're a little bit weaker. But this season, we seem to have really taken on the road strongly. And I think that's a lot to do with Thomason. Thomason's brought a sort of good feeling back to the club, and a lot of people want to make these trips to away games. We got 2,000 at Stoke, which for a Sunderland or a Sheffield Wednesday fan wouldn't be too much, but for Rovers, that's a big deal. Home numbers are still struggling. And I think I've always thought that the home form would struggle because of the lack of numbers we bring to a home game. And I think we might be starting to see the start of that. But as long as we're getting points on the table, I don't really care where they come from, home or away.
One thing I noticed as well, just again, is your players work tirelessly off the ball as well. It isn't just the threading of the passes through. When the opposition have got the ball, this team work so hard for each other, don't they? And is that just thing down to good coaching?
Absolutely, yeah. That's John Del Thomas, and that's what he wants the team to do. If we haven't got the ball, you've got to work harder to get them back than you do when you've got the ball. He really promotes this high press in the forward line, a sort of fluid front four, they call it, where anyone could end up anywhere on the pitch, and whoever's doing that job to press that defender, they run from the manager like I've never seen them run for anyone else, really, and they all work for each other. You'll see in the celebrations for some of the goals how much of a tight-knit that team are, and I think that's all down to Thomason as well.
Mm-hmm. Just a couple of words on a couple of players. First of all, talk to us about the quality of James Hill.
Oh, he's sensational. He's unreal. I did no expectation for him at all coming in from Bournemouth. I think he'd been on loan in Scotland, didn't really impress to any of my knowledge, but what we're maybe strongest for is our defensive partnership. Anyone who knows Rovers know how strong Dominic Higham and Hayden Carter have been. And with Higham out injured, for Hill to come back in and almost feel like he's Higham's not even gone missing, not as just a defender, but as a leader as well. Really impressed, more than I could mention. I think he's destined to play in the Premier League regularly.
And finally, you've got this little nice relationship with Brighton, haven't you, going on in terms of, you know, them sending you nice players, and I suppose they haven't come any better, I suppose, this season than Andrew Moran, who helped certainly on Saturday. Just a word on his qualities.
Yeah, well, if Brighton want to send us any more players, we'd be more than happy with that. Yeah, he's really quality. He's got something that not many of our players have got. The drive to take someone on, a little bit of agility, dances between players. I remember when he first came, I was there at Watford when he first made his debut. Didn't know much about him, But straight away, he was high energy, running at players, and he got his goal at the weekend, which perhaps a little bit lucky with the goalkeeping, but he definitely deserved a goal.
Okay, cool. Right, we'll get the Wednesday fan, our Wednesday fan back in, and you can both preview the game this weekend. Let's pause there. Thank you, Harry. Okay, Blackburn travelling to Hillsborough then this weekend. Let's get some score predictions. First of all, Harry, meet Andrew. Andrew, meet Harry.
Hello.
Nice to meet you, Andrew. I don't particularly remember the 4-2 win in 1882.
83-84. I was there, big one. Yeah.
A little bit before my time.
Yeah, that season we didn't lose in our first 19 matches that season. Different story to how things were going this season.
Different story this season, there, Andrew. all right, let's get some predictions then. Andrew, Blackburn are a dangerous side. What do you reckon?
Well, we're going to be the spoilers, and we're going to end this unbeaten away little run they're having, or whatever they're doing away from home. And depending on what happens on Wednesday, if we get thrashed by Leicester, then please mute this scoreline. Otherwise, if we don't get thrashed, then I'm very confident that we're going to actually get a win there. We can't just rest on one win all season. We'll beat Blackburn 2-1. 2-1 to Wednesday.
All right, back at you then, Harry. What do you reckon? Bottom of the league, you going well?
Yeah, well, everything would say on paper that would be a Rovers win. But as the saying goes, the game's not played on paper. I heard Andrew describe Blackburn as consistent earlier, which is the last word maybe I'd use to describe Rovers. And these are the kind of games that Rovers end up losing in the past, playing against a team that are quite low on confidence. You've come off a win, and you're going away to Sheffield Wednesday, you'd expect nothing but 3 points, and then you end up losing 1-0. It's happened numerous times. But I am saying that I am going to contradict myself. I am confident that Rovers will get the points. I think we've been playing well. I think maybe a few results that we hadn't gone our way in the last few weeks had been a bit undeserved, and we've got the results of the weekend that our performances have really warranted. So I'd say 2-0 Rovers. I'll go 2-0.
Brilliant. All right. Not completely a smash and grab then. Right. Listen, fellas, thanks so much. We'll see you next week and review whether you're right or whether you're wrong. Enjoy the game.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Yeah. Bye now.
Did we see the goal of the season contender at Home Park this weekend? Eden?
Yeah, what a goal. Morgan Whittaker, take a bow. I mean, we've got the most goals outside the box in the Championship this season. Whittaker, it feels like he scored every single one of them. What a signing. £1 million. I think we can sell him for four times that now.
Yeah, I think there's some Swansea fans that are regretting that. Craig, you were there. What was your view of that particular goal?
Unfortunately, I was on BBC duty, so I missed the game, unfortunately, but I've seen the replay.
Craig, you're on BBC duties, but what was your view of that goal?
Oh, I thought it was fantastic. Obviously, you know, as Jaden said, he can score inside the box, outside the box. You know, he's just a magic man, and he's got a magic left peg, and it's a fantastic goal, wasn't it?
Amazing. Incredible. Sunderland came and huffed and puffed, and, you know, they had some decent chances, but is it nice to see a nice clean sheet and actually defensively, you know, doing a shutout?
Yeah, I think it's superb. Obviously, you know, Dan Scar came out the side. Julio Plegazzino, he's been probably the signing of the season on a free transfer from SC20. Jordan Houghton proving why he's the best defensive midfielder in the league again. Benazaz in that midfield. You know, we're not even missing Ryan Hardy at the moment. So, you know, full credit to the squad. So, you know, against Coventry, I think we've got nothing to fear. And I think, you know, bring any team on, really. If we can take on Sunderland, Norwich, you know, Southampton, bring any team on in the Championship.
Yeah. Jaden, we've spoken a lot about defensive frailties. We've spoken about when you travel to Leeds and, you know, falling asleep in the first half. But this time, they were on it from start to finish, weren't they?
Yeah, you know, you asked me last week about the signing, who needs to step up, you know. I said Plegazuelo needs to step up. He's obviously had a few chances, didn't really take it against Leeds, made an error leading to goal or whatever. But I thought he was excellent against Sunderland. Along with the rest of the defence, Kesler Hayden with some vital blocks and little touches to get it away from the goal. Yeah, brilliant.
How much do you both agree that Plymouth play better against sides that come and have a go? So against Blackburn, Norwich, Sunderland, all those teams are on the front foot, aren't they? They're all, you know, coming to play football. And it seems as if Plymouth like those sides because they can get around the back and attack. Whereas against teams that park the bus, such as the Millwall game, for example, you tend to struggle more. Is that a view that you hold or is that an exaggeration, Craig?
Oh, no, I think that's probably spot on, to be honest. I think, as you know, against Millwall, we were robbed. You know, they played boring football, low block. Sheffield Wednesday, we did struggle, even though we won that game. So we play a lot better at teams that want to come and attack us. And you think, you know, as the Sunderland manager said, absolutely spot on. They thought they were going to win the game. They thought little old Plymouth, and, you know, we turned them over. And I think, you know, you nailed it on the head, absolutely spot on, that we like playing against teams that like to attack us.
Jaden?
Yeah, I think, well, when Millwall came, my initial reaction to that game was that they came to Home Park and they really showed teams how to win a game at Home Park and how to do that. And yeah, teams struggled to come to Home Park and get a win. It's clear to see. And yeah, teams who rather defend seem to get better results, as you say.
Okay. By the time we play Stoke then this weekend, you will be in December. What do Plymouth need in the January transfer window to make sure that this season is a comfortable mid-table finish? Jaden, you go first.
Well, Hardy and Bundu have just come out injured. Wayne hasn't really stepped up too much. Maybe we could do with putting Wayne out on a League One loan and then maybe getting a new striker who's championship quality. Maybe that might be a good move.
Okay. Craig?
I think we probably need multiple positions. I think, you know, striker is another one of them. I think we probably need to strengthen at centre midfielder. I think we should send Warrington back to Everton. He's been atrocious for this season. Absolute joke. I don't want to see him in an Argyle shirt ever again. Probably need another centre back. You know, Dan Scar has been suspect at times. I think we need to reinforce it. Obviously, Macaulay Gillespie's coming back in. Of course, Brendan Galloway, a former player you may know of his time at Everton, a fantastic centre back. Obviously, you know, defensive frailties, but we do need to add centre back in January, 110%.
Okay. All right. Any players that you're concerned about the Premier League sniffing around or something, maybe the top clubs at the top of the Championship?
I think Morgan Whittaker is a prime example. I think I kind of want him to stop scoring, stop assisting, because, you know, he probably might be off. Of course, Ballymumba, Ryan Hardy, you know, there's no, if Finnezan doesn't keep not scoring, if he doesn't keep scoring, you know, we might not get him back. You know, Kessler Hayden, Adam Randall could be off. You know, there's a few players that there is, you know. I want to mention Freddie De Zaka. I think there's another player that, you know, even though he plays under 18s for Wales, quite an unknown player that people may not know in the Championship, but he, you know, he's had a very, very good start to the season. And of course, if he keeps playing well, you never know. He's one of our future players, could be off in the January or summer transfer window.
Yeah. Jane, you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree. But just on that last question, I was going to say, we still have two loans as well. That's a good point to remember. We still have, if we send Warrington back, that is, we'll have two loans. So, yeah, it's looking good.
Okay. All right, then. Stoke, on their travels then this weekend to Home Park. Funny old team. Had a bad result, of course, this weekend against Blackburn. What do you make of Stoke and what are your predictions? Jaden, you can have first go at this one.
Well, it looks like they're decent at defending and they can't score. So the last three games have been...
Which is the opposite of you, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the last three games haven't been great for them. 2-0 draws by the looks of it. So, yeah, I mean, I think we'll scrape a win here. I think it'll be 1-0 to our goal.
Do Plymouth do 1-0s?
We did last season. I don't know about this season, but yeah. I don't know what to predict anymore. It's the Championship.
Yeah, very entertaining. I think Home Park's the place to be for entertainment anyway, surely, isn't it? Craig, Plymouth against Stoke?
I think it's going to be a difficult game. Obviously, you know, you highlighted there, they're defensively, they are very good. You know, we've got the players to hurt them. Finn Azaz, Ballymumba, obviously Morgan Whittaker. Of course, hopefully Ryan Hardy would be added into the firepower of that. But we need to be wary. You know, you can never underestimate any team in the Championship, no matter if they haven't scored nil-nil or anything, because anybody can turn anybody over on any game in the Championship, in my opinion. I think it'll be 2-0 our goal.
Brilliant. Right, thank you very much, folks. We appreciate that. Thank you, Jane, for coming on. Thank you very much, Craig, from Green Fever as well. If you don't follow Craig on Green Fever YouTube series, please do so. It's an amazing, amazing insight into all things Plymouth Argyle. Thank you, Craig, for coming on this week on Terrace Talk. Really appreciate it. Thank you both. Enjoy the games.
Cheers, Mark.
All right, see you this week.
EFL Terrace Talk.
One shot at home against a second to bottom team? Oh, darn, it's not good enough, is it?
Well, 1-0, yeah. I'll take 3 points at the moment over a performance. I went to the game and it wasn't great. It was ugly, but we have to win ugly at the moment. We've got 4 games before the derby, and you know, I'm looking forward to that. So we just need to keep the form of winning. It's 2 wins in a row now, so that's good. It's a clean sheet, albeit, like you say, against one of the worst teams in the Championship. With Lyndon Dykes up front, you know, you're not going to expect him to do too much for QPR. But yeah, I'm just very pleased. We got a win. It wasn't pretty, but I think, as I say, I'm just happy to get 3 points. And, yeah, got up to 13th. The dizzy heights of 13th for Norwich.
Yeah, you take any win at the moment, wouldn't you? With given some of your results at home, Stacey was given man of the match. Did you agree with that?
I'll probably give it to Hwang, the goal scorer. It was a good finish, really good finish. It reminded me of Emi Buendia and Pukki linking up the pass over the top of the defence, and a good finish. And for a chap who's not really in good form or with good confidence, he hit it really well. So I would probably give it to Hwang, and hopefully he can start scoring again. And yeah.
Okay. I mean, it sums it up when I read that one Norwich fan had posted that the best part of Saturday was watching the West Brom game in the pub after.
Yeah, the Ipswich result. Yes, yeah, they lost. So it was a good weekend for the yellow and greens, really. Ipswich losing and you know, them coming off their pedestal, and obviously Leicester winning was good for us. We want Leeds to win and Farke to do us a few favours and get Ipswich down a bit, you know, whilst we play them. It's confidence and form, really. And, yeah. You know, we need to keep clean sheets. We mentioned Bath last week, didn't we? And he played really well again. So it's just we had actually Barnes come back from injury and he put in a shift, and it's his leadership. We are lacking leaders on the pitch, and Ashley Barnes, obviously being a bit older, he sort of knits the team together well. We've got, Grant Hanley, our club captain, he's due back soon, as is Angus Gunn, the goalkeeper. And then obviously Josh Sargent. So we're hoping for a bit more, you know, on the injury front, a bit more luck.
What do Norwich need in the January transfer window? And, you know, have you got the capital to go and get something?
That is the question. What do we need? Well, we need something in the middle of the park that's going to help us keep clean sheets. So whether that be central defenders or an actual specialist central defensive midfielder, because Sorensen, he's always injured. He's a nice guy, Jacob Sorensen, and he's our only central defensive midfielder, and he's always injured. We've also got Forshaw from Leeds, who we bought, but he is terrible, a terrible signing. He didn't play well when he last came on. I think he's now injured as well. So I think we need a proper specialist central defensive midfielder. But as you say, have we got the money? Looking at our accounts, which are nearly 100 million in debt, £96 million in debt, I would suggest we probably haven't. And we're looking at freebies or loans again. So I don't know who we could get, trying to think who would be good. Maybe an Arsenal player on loan.
That'd be nice. Jack Wilshere up, he'll be all right. All right. What about the game then this weekend? What's your thoughts then on going to Bristol City?
Yeah, so I think it's going to be a tough one. We are in form, obviously. But I will go for a 1-0 win for Norwich, just to keep the winning run going. It'll be tight, I think. So 1-0 to Norwich.
The wonders a couple of wins go, because a couple of weeks ago you've been predicting a loss. I'm pretty sure you would have. Sure it would have been.
Yeah. I think form and confidence are just so important. And obviously I predicted a few losses, which happened. And I'm just hoping now, with a couple of victories, Cardiff and QPR, we can just, you know, I've got Watford obviously tomorrow night on TV. That'll be a tough game away. Then we've got Bristol on Sunday, as you say. So it's just trying to keep clean sheets and prepare ourselves for this big game on the 16th of December.
you're building up. All right, good luck. Enjoy the trip to Bristol. I know you travel really, really well. Thanks, Dom. See you next week.
Cheers, man.
First one.
Take care.
Okay, Russell Martin said that the Saints looked tired and had no energy in that second half. Joe, was he right?
Yep, completely agree. First half, it was all right. It wasn't particularly great, but second half, it was terrible. Like, it was just the same mistakes coming in, week out, and yeah.
The possession stats, as we hinted at last week, I think weighed 78% in your favour. I think in the first half it was 82% and 18%. But our Huddersfield fan earlier said, actually, you know, it's no good having those possessions if all you're going to do is do tippy-tappy, sideways passing, backwards passing. You don't usually have a lot of the ball, but in this game in particular, you didn't seem to do that much with it. Is that accurate?
Yeah, we had all of the ball, but we did nothing with it. And our goal was very fortunate, because they just switched off for a second and we capitalised, same with their goal. But yeah, it's all well and good having the ball, but you actually need to do a thing called scoring, and that's what wins you games.
Yeah, you must have thought, when you watched the Leeds game on the Friday night, maybe the players did in the hotel in Yorkshire, they thought, right, Leeds have dropped points. We beat Huddersfield tomorrow. You know, we are, you know, jumping into third. Ipswich lose as well.
Yeah.
What a massive opportunity. It's almost like you want to play Portsmouth next year in this league.
It's not hanging on for. Well, a couple of fans that I was at the Huddersfield game with on Saturday said that they actually wouldn't mind staying down another year, because it's more enjoyable. And to be honest, I'm kind of starting to agree with them, because the Premier League was all well and good, but it's actually quite nice winning some football games. And like, yeah, I mean, it's pretty boring sometimes, but it does grind out results here and there.
Yeah, I suppose the news of Portsmouth losing for the first time as you came.
Oh, that was superb. Although we dropped points. Like, I'm just glad that, and then they got battered at home as well.
Yeah, so
that made me very happy.
All right. I mean, joking aside, though, Southampton, you know, will be in the playoffs. We're almost certain of that. Yeah. If not second place, what do they need in January then, Joe, to make sure that actually happens? Because you've got the money, unlike other clubs, you've got your parachute payments. What needs to happen?
If Shea goes, then I would like to see a replacement. I've seen on a few places that we've sent scouts to Austria to look at a couple of players over there for striker. I would like to see another centre mid, maybe, and potentially a backup right back or something, or left back.
Okay. And then the funds will be there to do it, you think? Do you think they'll go big, or do you think they'll be a bit more conservative? Because, of course,
I think they'll be a bit more conservative. But I think if we get two players permanently and maybe a couple of loans, because we've still got two, three loan spaces available. So there is the possibility to add a few players there.
Okay. visit of Cardiff then this weekend, who now you're famous for being the late, late show, but these guys took biscuit at Preston, scoring two goals in the last 5 minutes. What do you make of Cardiff and what do you see as the threats this weekend?
I like what I've seen, actually. I mean, I haven't followed them too much over the last couple of years, but this season they look very good. They look well oiled and look like they could cause us a real threat. If we play a high line and we stick our fullbacks up stupidly high up at the pitch, they're going to catch us and they're going to score. It's going to be a Sunderland score. I can see it already. But if we play direct, then I can see us grinding out a win.
Okay. All right, let's bring in our Bluebird and let's get his views on it. Thank you, Joe. Pause there 1 second. Cardiff are on their way to the Premier League. Hey, James?
We'll see. We'll see what happens in China, really.
All right, welcome back to the Cardiff View. How are you? We missed you last week because you were away. So you dodged us questioning you about the Norwich results. But heading up to Preston this weekend, you must have enjoyed yourself.
Yeah, I've seen the first half a bit frustrating. Had one or two chances. Preston scored early then in the second half, a bit of a mistake from McGuinness. And obviously they've had the red card that sort of changed the game. We have them, perhaps we just couldn't really capitalise on anything really. Last 10 minutes, we just scored two goals. Smashing crap.
Would you agree that even their goal came against the run of play a little bit, and that even in that period you were having the best of it?
I think it was quite a close game, but obviously, yeah, they had a bit of luck there with the deflection coming off McGuinness, and then their striker or wing again in one on one with a keeper. So again, frustrating, but yeah.
Okay, let's talk about set pieces then, and how important they've been for you this season, because you seem to be becoming the master of them. What seems to be working? Who's pivotal when you have corners and free kicks?
So Perry Engie on our free kicks and potentially off our corners sometimes, but Gutas and McGuinness, the two centre backs, have been very good off the set pieces. Quite over the last sort of month or two now, sort of Gutas picking up a few goals that way.
Okay. Realistically, the manager's going to be resetting the targets, I'm sure, in the new year. If I offered you 10th place now, would you take it?
After the last season, yeah, I'd take 10th place. But say it in that, with how we're playing at the moment and with January to come in, being able to actually spend money again, why not? Why can't we push for the playoffs?
And just quickly, what happened against Norwich?
Where do I start? Absolutely frustrating that was. Basically, we've gone 1-0 down. We've drawn in back level 1-1 and sort of gone 2-1 up then just before the break. And then we sort of had our chances in the second half to sort of kill the game off. And typical Cardiff fashion, we've sort of invited the pressure onto ourselves and they've scored a second. And then within a space of a minute or two, the Cardiff players have just not switched on and Norwich have gone and got a winner. So
a little blip, though, against the bigger picture of an impressive season, though, yeah?
A blip, but still fairly frustrating considering how poor Norwich were coming into that game at that time, and sort of we were winning 2-1. Need to sort of be seeing games like that.
Okay. All right. What do you need in January? Santa's on his way. What's Cardiff going to be asking for?
A striker by the name of Big Kiefer Moore, I think, is the main target. Errol's come out personally and said that he's wanted to sign out Kiefer Moore in the summer, and that weren't possible because of the situation with Bournemouth trying to find their striker and then obviously allowing Kiefer Moore to sort of come down to Cardiff again. But now with January coming up, obviously Kiefer Moore's wanting to play regular football with the potential of Euro 2024. It depends on if we do go through with the playoffs, so he needs to be playing regular football.
Okay. All right, and you were travelling to Southampton then this weekend. What do you make of Southampton and risky game this one?
Yeah, you know, any game in the Championship away is going to be a difficult game, and especially with a team like Southampton, a lot of quality in that team and sort of players that can hurt you within sort of an instinct, really, sort of a bit like Leicester and Leeds, just one of them top quality teams in the Championship. But having said that, if they do play their high line, like Joe said, then potentially we can capitalise that, because I think that Errol Bullitt will go there with the game plan of sort of counter-attacking football, and there'll be sort of a similar setup to how we sort of approached the Leicester game. Okay, we lost it, but you know, we were in that game till sort of the 95th minute, and obviously a lot has changed since then. A lot of different players are playing with a lot more confidence, so potentially could go to Southampton and get something.
Boom. All right, let's bring Joe in and let's get some score predictions from you both. Here's James. Okay, Saints against Cardiff. Let's get some score predictions. Joe, what are you going with this week?
I'm going to go for a 2-1 Southampton win.
Hey, there we go. And James?
You know what my score predictions are like by now. I'm going to go safe. I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, it's probably as well. It's not going to be 0-0, is it, this one? I can't see it being anything. No. Okay. Right, listen, folks, thanks for both joining us. We'll catch up next week because, I mean, this could be a playoff semi-final. Not semi-final, so yeah. Playoff semi-final, yeah, cool.
Yeah, good.
Come make, couldn't it? I'm sure you'll both be looking forward to it. See you soon. And yeah, thanks for joining us. Nice one.
No worries.
Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
24 of the nation's most dedicated fans. Terrace Talk. Follow on X and Facebook.
Okay, not since Valentine's Day this year had Ipswich failed to score, and not since August had they lost a game and they trotted up to the Hawthorns and got swatted away like a fly. Good evening, Dan. You must be very happy.
Oh, ecstatic, mate. To be fair, Carlos Corberan, he's like the Pep Guardiola of the Championship at the minute. He'd done his homework on Ipswich, he studied hard, and he came away with the 3 points, and it's fantastic. Not one player put a foot wrong that night.
Yeah, he's studied under Bielsa, hasn't he? For your manager, he's a protégé. Yeah. Bielsa spoke very, very highly of him. I mean, there's elements of that game I saw that seemed a bit Bielsa like.
Apart from the sitting on that box.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, what impresses me and as a neutral, I'm sure, is that looking at your players, I don't mean this rudely. There doesn't seem to be any superstars there. There's some very average players, but by goodness, he's got them playing well above the level which they should be. Am I being unfair? Or
I mean, look, when like you look at the likes of Swift and Dean Garner, they're probably like that outstanding players. But yeah, to be fair, the rest of them are like pretty bang average. And to be fair, if it gets us results, I'm happy with bang average players.
What was the secret then of being Ipswich? What tactically did he get right?
When we started off the game, like, we got the early goal, and I saw like our high defensive line. I was like, that might cause us problems because they're very quick on the counter. But we just seemed to just stop that straight away. It was worrying seeing this high line when you got the likes of Bartley and Kipre, who run like the carrying a piano. but then we had Townsend and Furlong literally just sweeping up. And to be fair, even Alex Palmer got in on the act and playing the Manuel Neuer role of the sweeper keeper. Even he came out and cleared a few chances. But yeah, I don't really think Ipswich caused us many problems, which surprised me a lot, considering they're second in the league and only lost one game all season. But yeah, we defended really well.
Yeah, and just a word on Mowat, if you could, because I thought he's particularly outstanding.
Yeah, he seems to have gone under the radar. He's one of them unsung heroes at the minute. But he's got an absolute wand of a left foot. The last player that had a wand of a left foot that played for us was Chris Brunt. But Merritt, you give him a chance right outside the box, he's going to be on target. And he just seems so composed now in the middle of the park. When we first bought him, he wasn't exactly that special. But he's upped his game now after coming back on loan. And yeah, he's an integral part now of our midfield.
All right, let's bring in Statman Archie, who's been having a look at West Brom and what statistically is making West Brom.
I thought everything was spot on in terms of what was just said from the West Brom fan. When you come and play against a team like Ipswich and like Leicester, as we'll get on to, I think that West Brom are kind of like well suited to that. When you play a team that wants to pass it as much as Ipswich and Leicester do, you've got to unsettle them. You've got to play your own game. You've got to be strong, play it long at times, and not let them get their rhythm. I think that's what's really important. West Brom have won 4 out of 5 in the last 5 games. They won 3 of them at home, so they got a great home record. I think it's going to be a really exciting game from a Leicester point of view. Best goal difference in the league. 3 out of 5 games, obviously that 2-game drought. So it's going to be an interesting one, that's for sure, Mark.
Yeah, the Hawthorns has become a fortress. And is that down to anything in particular? I mean, first of all, I mean, I've been to the Hawthorns a lot, and it can be quite loud, but it also can be quite quiet at times. But this season, it seems to be rocking.
Yeah, it is rocking. I mean, unfortunate that I can't make many games anymore, living in Crawley, but I still watch it on TV, and I can still hear the atmosphere, and I miss being there.
Okay, what about this Leicester side then that's going to come on Saturday?
So Leicester have really surprised me, to be honest. Especially losing Madison and Barnes and Tielemans as well, and they're still flying. It's like you're losing your best players, but you're still winning games.
Yeah, let's bring in our Leicester fan then. Stay there one sec. Okay, I am. You're back here after a 1 week holiday. How are you?
I'm all good, mate. How about you? How's the relegation zone again?
More on that in a minute. You had your little wobble, haven't you? But you are you're back against. Well, you're certainly back in the goals against Watford. But you had to bring on Jamie Vardy to get the win, didn't you?
I mean, what can I say? He's one of our best. It wasn't only based on him coming on. I think all the changes that we made around the 55th, 60th minute made the changes that we needed. But yeah, it was a very good game, and looking forward to Sheffield Wednesday, which is coming up the day after, and obviously West Brom.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough place to go to, West Brom, though, is it? What have you made of them this year?
I think they're establishing themselves very well. Within the top 6. I mean, we've seen them beat Ipswich, which was very impressive, also very useful for us. Thank you very much. But yeah, I think it will be one of the tough games, especially if you look at our games that are coming up. This is probably the toughest one out of all.
Yeah. Archie, what have you got on Leicester statistically?
Like I mentioned before, the best goal difference in the league. They've got the same goal difference as Sheffield Wednesday do against. So whichever way you look at it is very interesting. I've enjoyed looking at it. 65% possession at the weekend. I did watch the highlights earlier and I didn't see a highlight for Watford. So that kind of tells you everything in terms of the game. You try and try and try and eventually you get there. I mean, Vardy had the same chance like 3 times pretty much, which... Eventually, he's going to score a player of his quality. Again, 6 goals this season. I got a question for the Leicester fan, though. I'm a massive fan of Kin and Dewsbury Hall. How long is it going to be until we see him play for the national team?
I mean, as long as Southgate is leading that team, he will never select Kin and Dewsbury Hall. That's how I see it, because you know how he likes to pick his favorites with Henderson, with Calvin Phillips, even though they are awful. But
I think that Southgate's going to be up a little bit of tricks before these Euros. I think he knows it's coming and he knows a change is needed. I think Trent should be in there, and I think Kean and Jusril should be in there as well, definitely in the squad at least. He's probably, in my eyes, probably the best midfielder in the Championship this season so far. He had Premier League interest at the start of the season. in terms of my prediction, yeah, it's going to be a close game. And I think the West Brom fan should be a little bit more confident in my eyes.
Okay. Just a couple more for you, Ian. Just talk about Iheanacho for a minute, because against Middlesbrough and in a couple of games now this season, he seems to have lost his first touch. He seems to be getting easily beaten. Are the fans losing patience with him a little bit?
I think we've lost patience with him years ago. We've always said the same thing. The problem with Iheanacho is that he is a confidence player. If he doesn't score one game, he will go on a drought for a few games. And the problem with him as well, he doesn't tend to get into the box, and he's very lazy as well. And we always say this, but then when he goes on like the goal streaks, we tend to forget about it. And then it's like a cycle with him, and it is frustrating. Luckily, we do have Jamie Vardy as well as Tom Cannon, who hasn't made his debut yet, but... Yeah, it is frustrating with him.
Okay, let me ask you both then about the January transfer window before we get some score predictions. Obviously, we're into December by the time this game comes around on Saturday. Dan, first for West Brom, I know money is going to be an issue with everything going around the club. But if that wasn't an issue, what do West Brom need in terms of positions and strength?
To be fair, I think we need... strength in depth all over the park, to be honest, and probably just another striker that isn't made a wee to be like Daryl DK. I think I've only seen him play a lot, 4 games, and he's been there 4 years, and he's just always injured. So maybe like another striker, and probably like some wing backs as well, just cover for Furlong and Townsend.
Okay,
and apart from that, I can't think of anything else.
And joking aside, are there any dealings likely given the financial issues the club is facing?
Probably not. It'll probably have to dip into like the loan market or something. We're skint, if anything. We're just trying to repay loans that like the owners took out the club to pay for his own company.
Yeah, okay. Same question to you then. I am obviously. You're getting parachute payments. You've awash with money. What do Leicester need, if anything, in the transfer window to make sure that you are bypassing Everton as they go down and you go up?
I mean, Everton going down and us going up is inevitable by now. But I think we do need another left-footed centre-back. Us missing Callum Doyle has sort of been an issue for us. We've been playing James Justin instead of him, and it is working out, but you can tell that he's a bit uncomfortable on that side. We also do need a cover for Harry Winks. I mean, if you saw the Watford game, we played Hamza Choudhury in his place, and Hamza isn't really the best on the ball. He is a great tackler, though, but he's not...
He doesn't suit your system, does he, the way that your manager wants to play?
Yeah, he doesn't suit like Harry Winks' role, and I think we do need a number 10, that we still haven't gotten a number 10. So if we cover those three places, no one's catching up to us.
I sure hope they do. I really hope they do. And it might be West Brom, you know, where they're going. Dan, let's get some score predictions then. West Brom against Leicester.
I think we'll make it 2-0.
Can I just say something? We haven't lost the game more than 1-0. So if you're predicting 2-0, my God, you're optimistic.
I'm usually very pessimistic, but...
It's the first time you've predicted a win, isn't it?
I know, yeah.
I am what you're going with then. Come on, 5 or 5-0, 6-0. Come on, let's hear it.
No, that's for Sheffield Wednesday, not for West Brom. Right. No, I'd say it would be a very good game. Close one, of course. 2-1, 3-1.
Okay, nice.
2-1.
Yeah. Is it on telly, this one? I'm sorry, I've neglected to look at it.
It's a silly 12:30 kickoff on a Saturday.
Brilliant, right, okay. I'll be watching that as I head down to Nottingham Forest. Enjoy the game, folks. We will catch up with you in a couple of weeks.
Fantastic.
Night. See you later, guys. Cheers, fellas.
Thank you, bye-bye.
The most argumentative footballing podcast.
A little trip to Leicester and still 7 points off the playoffs, so it's no bad news at all. Close but no cigar. Is that right, Aaron?
Yeah, like I said, it was a free hit. It was, we go there and we get something terrific. We don't. And yeah, we went sort of to go for a smash and grab. couldn't pull it off. I mean, Vardy has such a good goal scoring record against us. As soon as he come on, I knew what was happening. And then he misses the open goal and starts smacking himself in the head. And you just like, he's going to be so up for it now, isn't he? We didn't fret enough to get anything out of the game anyway. They eventually took their chances. It was textbook, really, is what you expect when you play a team where the gap in playing squads that drastic to the rest of the league.
Yeah, so look, there was a chance in the first half, wasn't there? Tom Ince had crossed it in,
Can't quite remember. It was the other end of the ground, but I do remember it. Yeah, it was half chance, and then our only other really big chance was in latter in the second half, just before the penalty decision. Ryan Porteous stormed forward and had a decent shot on goal when he probably should have rolled it to his left to Martins. But, yeah,
say Levy. Different prospect then, of course, this weekend. Before we get to that game, January transfer window's coming up. We're heading into writing our Christmas lists. What do Watford need in the January transfer window?
What we definitely need, and I think we will get, is I think we need another centre half. Porteous looked great when he came in January, but this season slightly off the boil. I'm quite happy with Hoot at the minute. He's definitely stepped up his performances. I think we could maybe get someone else to push to be his partner. The unrealistic position I'd like is actually a goalkeeper.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, because
yeah,
there's been some criticism, isn't there?
it's not really like a common thing to have a disciplinary problem with your goalkeeper. But he's had 8 yellows for dissent since November 22nd last year. 8 yellows for dissent in that time. And I know he is our club captain at the moment. And obviously he does have to get involved with the ref, that sort of thing. But you can't be getting that many yellows for dissent as a goalkeeper. It's awful. I think his shot stopping has been average at best. He's very much one of these people that's always rooted to his line. I just think we could do a lot better, really. And it's a shame because when he first came into the first team, when Foster was injured back in 2021, he was really solid for us. But I just think it's time to move on and get a different keeper in the machine, the six.
Okay. All right. Travelling up then to Hull this weekend. Are you hopeful this is another tough away trip, isn't it? You seem to be having them at the moment.
Yeah, no, our run from the international break onwards is quite pretty much as hard as you can get. I think the only way you get harder is chucking leads in it, which fortunately we've played them already and got that one out of the way. I think I looked at, before Leicester, I looked at the next 4 games and I said, lose to Leicester. I think we'll get a win out of Norwich at home. For this game against Hull, it's a tough one. They're a funny side. I don't know. I look at their results and they've had some great ones and then they've had some pretty average ones. And I don't know. But I think going there is going to be a tough battle.
Yeah. All right, predictions then? Hull against Watford?
Yeah, I said draw when I looked at those 4 games before the Leicester game. I think I am still going to go draw. Won't be a high scoring one either. I'd say 1-1, but if you want a bet, I guarantee you the whole goal scorer will be Ozan Toufan, who is one of the worst loan signings I've ever seen at Watford, yet he's probably one of their best players.
Right, we'll get on it. We'll get on it, Aaron. And you can make us rich, then we'll come back and thank you next week. Right, cheers, mate. Catch you next week. Yeah, enjoy the Norwich game and enjoy your trip to Hull. I'm sure you will.
No problem. Cheers. See you later.
Thanks, Aaron. Cheers.
The most argumentative footballing podcast.
Yannick Blassi signs for Swansea, but will it make a difference to an inconsistent side? Let's find out. Welcome back to the Swansea View, Richard. You okay?
Yeah, not too bad. Good week. Apart from dropping the points in the weekend, you know, but encouraging signs and a new sign-in. Yeah, all good news.
Let's start there then. So Yannick Blassi, obviously, you know, terrorised defences in the Premier League before his big injury at Everton. What's the thinking behind this signing?
Well, I think the main thing really is we lost Josh Ginelli. He was our natural wide outlet, really a differential player as such, you know, someone who can kind of, when the going gets a bit tough, he's stretching defences a bit more. Yes, Bolasie's been brought in. He's 34 years old. He will not have the pace he had hot 10 years ago, but he's got a lot of experience to provide to a young squad. And he's got the know-how and he's not lost that skill. So he's been playing, he's been in Turkey and he's had a good record. He had another club. He's been training at the club for about 2 weeks. Duff's been impressed with him and they've given him a couple of months on the contract really just to have a good look at him and have him as an option. So it's you know, if it doesn't work, it's an extra body in because we are short at the moment. We've had a lot of injuries. If it does work, then I wouldn't be surprised if he stays the season. And he could be just one of those under-the-radar players you just kind of find that can give you that little boost in morale in the camp.
Well, let's hope it works because, of course, at the moment, I can't pick Swansea games. I mean, one week you're great, one week you're not. Let's look at the whole game before we look ahead to Huddersfield. Fragile at the back. You looked good value for the 2-0 lead. And then Hull came out the second half. It was the first attack, literally the first attack, and you conceded, and then from then on, it looked like Hull potentially could have gone and won it.
Well, you know, they always say that term of a game of two halves. This literally was a game of two halves. You had a first half where the Swans, in my feeling, should have been out of sight. You know, we had two very good team working goals. Jamie Patson cut inside. You know, he's looked really, really better player this year. Back in the mix after being out with the team last year. It's got a good goal. Then the second one went in. Yates is fifth of the season, coasting. Couple of chances, Lowe missed a chance, and there was another chance, I can't remember who missed it, but it was a real good opportunity to be three up, game over, half time. Second half, killer blow in it. You know, you start the half, one thing you don't want to do is concede straight away, and that's what happened. And their main man, Philogy, he's the playmaker on that. He terrorises defence. He'll do things to other teams as well throughout the season, not just us. But what you can't do is you can't be static when you defend it. And I think that's what we've been punished for with both the goals. And they had one disallowed, very similar fashion. So the manager's come out and he's put his hands up. He said, you know, we've been good defending in some of the games we've had recently. And then we've kind of gone back to our old laurels of, you know, it's just kind of switching off for 2 minutes. But I suppose you get that with youngsters, don't you? So if you had an experienced head in there, would that happen? I'm not sure. But it's frustrating.
Yeah, I read his comments after the game, and he said something on the lines of, I told the players not to press the keeper in open play. And the first opportunity where the keeper's got the ball in the second half, they're pressing the keeper, whole play through you, and then they go and score. So he was kind of saying, you know, I told the players at half-time not to do this. They went and did it anyway. So it's kind of on them. Was there any criticism of Duff tactically in that game? I mean, I've read reports that Darling was being skinned a lot and he didn't do anything about it. Is this result anything on the manager, or is this just against a good side again? Who know how to play against you?
I think we are down to bare bones a bit at times. We've had people going off injured, left, right and centre. We've had to patch things up. So perhaps we've not had our strongest lineup at times. So like you say, if someone is getting skinned, as you say, if you haven't got someone else who can come on and do a job to maybe replace them for it, it's hard to really change your tactics round. Where he said all season really that he wanted to play a certain way at the beginning, but he didn't have the players to do it or didn't have the particular skills at his you know, thing to kind of change things round. Then we brought some players in right at the end of the window and we changed it round into a different formation, which seemed to work for a little bit. So it's that chopping and changing style, which it's never good to be doing that. No. But it's the inconsistencies. And the biggest thing is we're not getting results at home.
Yeah, they dried up, haven't they? Yeah.
You know, we've only won, I think it's three games at home this season. So we're one of the worst records in the league, but yet we'll go away, we'll get a credible point and win a hard place. You know, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if we get a result this week. So it's, yeah, it's up and down, very much so.
All right, so 17th in the league, you're 8 points away from relegation and 8 points away from the playoffs, so you literally couldn't be any more mid-table. What does Swansea need in January then, Richard, to make sure that you are heading up the table rather than being potentially dragged into a dogfight?
Well, players fit, for one, but if you're looking in the transfer market, I think you've got to have a striker, really, that can help Jerry Yates, because if he's having to play 90 minutes, it's not possible for him to do that. And the way he plays as well, he's an energy, he's a bundle of energy completely running into the channels, and you might not get, you get frustrated some games when you might not get anything from it. He had his goal on the weekend. Yes, great, but he goes missing sometimes then when he is knackered, and he might need to be taken off 70, 80 minutes. We've had Kukureyevich, the Ukrainian, been injured, not really had set the world on fire. So we need somebody else who's a bit different. So I think that's a priority. And also someone in that midfield as well to help out. I think Jay Fulton really hadn't, when he's come in, he hadn't really impressed me too much this year after doing really well last year. So I think Grimesy and Patino, those two are solid under the Duff strategy. But when you go against a top six side, I don't think like a Leeds now tomorrow or Ipswich and Leicester, you want to have somebody else in to be with Grimes in there, really kind of steal it down a bit.
Okay, there's a guy at Plymouth who's banging him in called Morgan Whittaker. I don't know if you've heard of him.
No, not really. No, no, it's a strange one, really, because he's never shown it at us. You know, he had a few chances, perhaps. Like they say, Joel Perreault was always given the striking berth, which he's full deserved because he scores all the goals. And when he had come in, Whittaker, it perhaps was in the wider role to support, not as an out-and-out striker. But even when he did come in, it just didn't seem to fit. And if it doesn't fit with Martin and it doesn't fit with Duff, it makes you think, like, what's going on? What's wrong? You know, so he seemed to have gone to Plymouth and he found a home last year, scored goals, come back for a few games. No, not nothing again. And the manager's gone and let him go. So it's one of those strange ones in life where, yeah, you just got to accept the fact that it just doesn't work.
Yeah. Right. We'll get the Huddersfield Town View. Stay there, Richard. Thanks very much. One sec. Well, 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 Huddersfield have remembered how to play football, hey, Mark?
Well, actually, Saturday afternoon, sat there watching early kickoff just in Fan Park at Town, and 2 o'clock comes, and you're like, oh, bugger. So it's like your first team, your first choice keeper's out, your this is out, that's not out, you're expecting these players to come back in and we're not in, and you're like, oh, bloody hell, this is going to be a long day. And I met Joe, the Southampton fan, and I told him, and I just started laughing. Got inside ground. You can see why Southampton have 80% possession in all the games, and we should have won. And that's the frustrating bit about it. We had so many chances in that game, and we should have won that game. And that's frustration. Yeah,
I mean, you are down to bare bones, because when Harrit went off in the first half, you just didn't have any strikers to bring on. You've got no replacements on the bench.
No, we had 7 subs. Darren Moore after the game came out with a load of twaddle about certain players are meant to play 20 minutes and half an hour and 15 minutes, and you know, it's all down to this technical stuff. I'm like, is he fit? Yeah. Is he on bench? Yeah. Can he play football? Yeah. Well, get him on. But when Keane Harrit went off, which for a young lad, that's a bad injury, right? It looks like a hamstring injury. So for two people to be taking you off a pitch like that, a couple of months out easily. And till Team U's coming out tomorrow, it's going to be a couple of months. So that's an early diagnosis. And then he brings on Yuta Nakayama, who's just come back from Japan. You know, it's a long trip around well for him. And just played a really... He kind of changed the system, but had 5 defenders as such. And then it kind of worked for us, did that. Ironically, last week when we were on about the other game, it's like he actually did seem to have some kind of managerial nouns about how to do it. And Southampton, it's okay having ball for 80% possession. We had 500-odd passes in game. They were all little 1-2s with each other for 4 hours. And you start going, well, we've played three passes, three key passes. One were a bit of a volley to the keeper. One keeper made a save. And two have scored the hardest chance. Three have scored the hardest chance. And if that's what 80% possession is going to get you, is three key passes in a game, then everybody can do it for me, as long as we're defending, because we missed. No, in fact, we didn't miss because we didn't technically get classed as shots on goal. But we created so many chances where, like, Kean Arrott would have had two or three of them before we even scored as worldy as his own. But nobody mentioned Ben Jackson's worldy, do we?
Well, that's
quite all about Morgan Whittaker and all that nonsense.
It's on my list to talk to you about. Go on, let's talk about Ben Jackson. The 87th minute, come on, talk us through it.
You're right in front of us as well. So we sit at the side of the pitch, like, pretty much on the goal line. And he whips it in. And, you know, he'd been doing that all game. He got our man at match, and I think he's in team at week as well.
Yeah,
he is. AFL and that. And, you know, he played a really good game, and he kept Walker Peters really, really quiet. Now, that's a hard thing to do because Walker Peters is quick, he's good. But that cross is kind of one of them where it's a really perfect cross, isn't it? Yeah, fair enough, it goes on to score, but it's that good of a ball. But your defenders leave it alone. Your keeper's stood there going, I don't know where to come because it's just in that area, isn't it? And striker just kind of didn't get to it. But that's how crap our strikers are at the moment. We ain't got any strikers, have we? But it just skips off at turf, doesn't it, and goes into the back of net. And you're like, we deserve that. We absolutely deserve that. For everything Southampton did, we deserve that goal. And we deserve 3 points out of it at the end of the day.
In a one-word answer, have you seen enough now, based on the last couple of games, resolute defending and the Southampton game, to suggest that you're going to be all right this season?
Not sure. We need depth. In January, if you're going to look at anything, you need depth. And to have seven subs, if you're going to go with seven subs against Sunderland on Wednesday night and then Swansea away on Saturday, two long away days, you need more than seven people on bench if you're going to have it. And I think for us, it's more about depth of just having good quality players in there rather than saying we need to have a specific midfield or whatever we need.
Right.
We need the strength and the depth of the team.
All right, let's get some predictions then. Stay there, we'll get our Swan in. Okay, Swansea against the Terriers then this weekend. Any memories of this fixture, either of you two?
Well, there haven't been many goals in the last few. It'd be a bit dour, I think. I think it's going to be another tight contest, really. I think both teams could do with a win. I think, you know, I'm trying to be optimistic this week. Now we played quite well at home on Saturday. We've got that tough trip to Leeds now Wednesday, so I think that'll take a bit out of us. And I'm hoping it's not going to be a case of what's happened with the Leicester game, where we came off the back of that when we lost to Watford, and it was he probably would have targeted the Watford game for the points. And in the same respect, now we'll be looking at this game on Saturday against Huddersfield as 3 points in this one. So for that reason, I would say probably a 2-0 win for the Swans.
Okay. And Mark?
It's going to be awkward. Like I say, a long trip to Sunderland on Wednesday, followed by a long trip to Swansea. The way we're defending, I think if you're going to come up against a team like Sunderland and Swansea, after we defended so well against Hull last week, ultimately we conceded in the last minute, and we defended really well against Southampton. I think this might be right up our street, and if we can get one of two of the strikers back, actually, I think we could maybe nick a positive result down there. So I think it'll be odd goal in three, really. I think it'll be 2-1. Hopefully it'll be to us, but I don't think there'll be much margin between it. So I'm going to go for a win for us for once, which is it's giving me palpitations. And
steady up, even me falling off my chair then.
I know.
All right, enjoy the game, fellas. Thanks so much. We'll catch up with you next week. Nice one.
Cheers, thank you very much.
All right, cheers, thank you.
Terrace Talk.
Without a doubt, top of Sunderland's Santa list for January must be a striker who can score goals. Jack, tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that, isn't it, really? I mean, we're not going to... Yeah, you can't sit here and say everything's perfect and, like, we haven't got a problem in that area. Like, yeah, the players... I feel like I'm repeating myself every single week on this now, but, yeah, we're just still without a goal from a striker. It's just it's an ongoing problem.
It must be so frustrating. I mean, if you think of the numbers that travel, I mean, it wasn't so long ago that you took, 2,500 plus to Swansea, you know, battered Swansea, 0-0, could have had 4 or 5. And then, 2 or 3 weeks later, back you are down at Plymouth, battered in the second half, by all accounts. I just can't believe, was it 24 shots?
Yeah, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
Five on target? I mean, okay, let's we're not going to talk about this after this video anymore, I promise, but what is it? You created the chances.
That's what it is. I mean, like, it's you can't ignore it for too long because it's becoming an issue. I mean, the last time we scored a whole goal from a striker was back in April. Like, it's crazy numbers. I mean, Jack Clark created, I think, 8 chances. It's not as if we've had a problem goal scoring, because we are still scoring goals, barring obviously the likes of Swansea and Plymouth, but it's just not falling of the strikes. I mean, like, Roosen's had his chances, as much as I like him, I think he's a good player. Yeah, one of them's got to go in sooner rather than later. I mean, I think we did all right. We did fine. It's just, again, it's just another frustrating one, really is.
Yeah, I mean, there's no harm in conceding the goal of the season contender, is there, for Morgan Whittaker's, and the second one wasn't too shabby either. These you know, floating wide kicks that go straight in the corner. It's not defensively you've got any issues, is it? But you mentioned there it's becoming an issue. How much of it is having an impact on you maintaining, you know, handles on these playoff positions?
I mean, yeah, like, how many teams do you see do that well and get in a playoff spot and push for promotion if, like, literally not a single strike scoring goals? Like, even last season when we were without one, the time we did have ones like Sims and Stewart, they still came up with, I think, 17 goals between them in their limited time. So we have lost a lot of goals from our team in that sense, but I hope it doesn't come too much worry. I think we're still in a decent position. We're in and around. Like, nothing to be too worried about. But we've got to see one of these chances go in sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Is there a worry then this week? Then, so you're playing against Huddersfield midweek, who like to park the bus in most games, which will make it very, very hard for you. And then you're playing against the Millwall side this weekend, who have just lost quite heavily at home, so likely you're going to come up against two very defensive sides, and you're going to have to unlock them. Otherwise, you know, you're going to be, you know, potentially in a mid-table side, aren't you?
I mean, yeah, I agree. I think that this is the thing, though: unlocking them and beating these defenses isn't really the problem. But you've got the chances in the areas; it's just putting the ball in the net, really. I mean, you put Clark in them sort of areas, he's probably going to score, but he's often the one having to create these chances. I mean, I wouldn't condone dropping Joe because he hasn't done anything wrong, but maybe just give him a rest. Put Aushishin, who's come off the bench in the last few games, done really well. Looks like a talent player, obviously scored against Birmingham. It's just you've got a bit of selection headache potentially, but they're going to be two tough games. I mean, I do think we should beat Huddersfield with the greatest respect, like, at home as well. And even Millwall, like, their home form since about April or May is really, really poor. Yeah. So, again, probably a game we should win. We'll see.
Okay, striker aside then, what else does Sunderland need in the January transfer window?
My main concern would probably be a holding midfielder, but obviously we've got Corey Evans coming back from his ACL injury in around the new year, but especially with his age, you're not so sure how well he could do. I mean, at the minute you've got Ekwa, Neil, as soon as one of them's out, you're having to drop a 10 into centre midfield, and it's just, it's not really working. We need another one for a bit of competition. I mean, Ecuador hasn't had the greatest few games in a row now. So, yeah, I think the priority list probably defensive midfielder number six. But also, yeah, we do need someone who's just going to put the ball in the net.
Is it nice to see Sunderland as being financially well-run at the moment? I mean, it hasn't always been the case, has it?
This is, yeah. I mean, I was talking to someone today, obviously, like, it was only 2 or 3 years ago that we were in League One getting beat off Burton Albion and Shrewsbury. If someone goes to you, right, but in 2 years, you'll have just come back off the back of a season, finishing the playoffs in your first season of the Championship, and now you sat ninth going into December, but you've just lost 2-0 to Plymouth. You're not going to be bothered about that. You take that all day. I mean, the way we've been run, it's fantastic. There's going to be blips. Not everything's going to go perfectly. But, yeah, this is the best time I've ever watched Sunderland in my life.
Yeah, they're definitely exciting to watch. Of the few games I've seen them this season, they're always a cracking watch. All right, let's get a prediction then. Heading to the Den, back on your travels to the south, I'm afraid, yeah. this weekend. Predictions, Millwall, Sunderland.
Yeah, another long one, but we'll obviously Wednesday could play in, but we're just talking Saturday now. If you tell me now, Saturday, I think we could win that. Our guy would say 2-1. I think we can win that game.
Yeah, they're very fragile at home, aren't they, Millwall? Yeah. Listen, Jack, I really appreciate it. I know you're tired back from your trip to back for Plymouth. Thanks for taking the time out to see us. We'll catch up with you next week. Cheers, Jack.
Cheers, man. Thank you.
Nice one. Okay, that's it for this week. We've previewed all our games. We'll hope you enjoy the action, and we'll see you again this time next week. Enjoy.